Welcome to another episode of The FWAT Show on the Coil Entertainment Network, the Happy Hour Network, VillageConnectionRadio.com, iTunes, the Google Play Store, and wherever else you happen to have found the show. It's all over the place. I'm your host, Rob Steele. That's Jesus Jones in the background. And this is the show that lets you know it's not just you. The world really has lost its damn mind. Now, because of this show, I occasionally get asked about my religion. I'll admit, it does sound like I bash Christianity a lot. I don't mean to. It's just the show covers stupidity, and that's where a lot of it comes from these days. Now, I grew up Episcopal, altar boy and everything. Don't picture that, it'll hurt. But that started me on a path that I'm pretty sure the church didn't want me on. You see, I figured out religion, and I don't really think it's for anyone. Let me back up a bit. Faith, the whole belief in God, is a completely different thing from religion. I'll admit, it is a bit oxymoronish to tell children not to have imaginary friends and then tell them to believe in a man that lives in the clouds. Not that God has to be a man, mind you. I just think it's one of those religiously built-in prejudices. And that's where I have a problem with religion. The organization of faith. Gathering people together? That's not a bad idea. Gathering people to congregate, share ideas, share thoughts, and, God forbid, maybe even share faith. Sure, why not? It's when you get some of those leaders together that put forth ideas that contradict the faith they're perpetuating that I have issues. For example, I recently visited my parents in East Tennessee. Now, while taking a shortcut through Knoxville, I found one of the biggest religion offenders I'd ever seen in person. I'm not going to name the church. This isn't a witch hunt. But locals might recognize this description. Outside this enormous church was a field of crosses. The sign next to them read, "There is a cross for every unborn child." The idea is that this was an anti-abortion display. And here we go. Is abortion against their religion? Apparently. Is it against everyone's? No. Now, I don't think it should be used as birth control, but the choice isn't mine to make. I don't have a womb. If you don't believe in the idea, then don't have one. But using religion as a political tool to push across ideas, that's where we start to have issues. You see, there is this thing called the United States Constitution. The First Amendment to that Constitution allows for freedom of religion. That means if you want to worship God A instead of God B, knock yourself out. But if God A says, for example, abortion is wrong, and tried to pass a law claiming that God B, who is pro-choice, is wrong, then it is completely disrespecting the religion of God B's worshipers. And religion is no longer free. And this happens all the time. Abortion is just one issue. How about gay marriage? This opens up another can of worms. There is not a place in the Christian Bible that says homosexual people cannot get married. It's not there. I've read the Bible, which is something I think a lot of Christians can't claim. I also did this crazy thing called searching. I acquired 3 versions of the Christian Bible in PDF format. That's a computer file. I opened each of them separately so as not to mix faiths, we'll get to that later, and searched for the words homosexual and marriage. Marriage popped up a few times. Homosexual? Nope, not even in there. Of course, if we're picky, there is not a mention of angels having wings either. Yeah, I looked for that. None of the versions. King James, no, not LeBron, the American Standard Version, and the Revised Standard Version. But that brings me to another issue. Why are there so many versions? Catholic, Methodist, Episcopal, Baptist, Lutheran, Presbyterian, Mormon? What's the point? They all worship the same God. just in different ways? Really? Are you sure? Then why are there so many differing messages? In some forms of Christianity, homosexuality is perfectly okay. In some, it isn't. Jesus himself never said either way. But think about the two points I've brought up already. Homosexuality and abortion. First, if a church is against abortion, why isn't it in favor of homosexuality? What group of people could possibly have fewer abortions than homosexuals? Let's take this a bit farther. Some Christians are against homosexuals adopting children. What's the point in that? Are the Christians going to take care of the child once it's born? No, of course not. No health care, no school lunches, no sympathy for a being that didn't ask to be called into existence. It is clearly a punishment sent by God. Well, how Christian of you.
Incidentally, any God who punishes children for existing, does he really deserve your worship?
Meanwhile, there are a group of people who would love to take care of a child. Why does it matter if the children in question have two mothers, or three fathers? That's right, three fathers. Because there's the homosexual couple itself, and God the Father. There's something to think about, Christians. There's already a semi-implied homosexual thing going on in every family. Two fathers. Think about that. Now, are they going to pass down their homosexuality? How? Genetics aren't involved here. Learned behavior? There is that chance, I'll admit that. It could happen. It could also happen that the child grows up in a loving family and learns to love wholeheartedly. Isn't that what we want for the children anyway? It's very similar to the argument for this blissfully ignorant bathroom law. Some people claim, in the name of Christianity, that transgendered people in the opposite-sexed bathrooms are going to be the end of the world. Except, in the history of time itself, the number of transgendered people who have been arrested in public bathrooms for the behavior described is zero. None. Zip. Zilch. Nada. Conversely, the number of Christian, and incidentally Republican, politicians who have been arrested for such behavior just in states who want these laws passed? Four. Your argument is invalid. Want another argument that can't stay aloft?
In the name of our Lord Jesus, I demand that my child not have to be vaccinated.
Well, I guess you don't want your child to live to see your age. Vaccinations do not cause autism or any other disease. There is no scientific data to back it up. Kirk Cameron and Jenny McCarthy, two actors I hadn't heard of since their respective sitcoms were canceled, can bitch and moan all they want. Vaccines help prevent disease. Are there outbreaks of measles and mumps going on right now? Yes. Where and why? Where is in large communities of anti-vaxxers, and why is because the children are not vaccinated. In the same argument, these are the people who argue that my child cannot bring a peanut butter sandwich to school because their child might be allergic, but it's somehow okay for them to bring communicable diseases to school to pass around. How did that happen? Because your religion says so? That's the big claim, but the word vaccinate is not in any Bible. Any of them. Thanks for playing. Please try again. Although while we're on the subject of medical cures and vaccines, where exactly in the Bible does it say that God hates marijuana? I have no horse in this race. I don't smoke it myself, but if people want to, why are we stopping them? More importantly, why are we stopping the people who can use its medicinal purposes? It's good for stress, ADHD, some cancers. And God didn't say no on this one, so why are the religions against it? Because it might help people. I don't know if you've noticed, but there are a lot of Christians these days who claim to want to help, but don't. I know a lot do. I'm not talking about them. What I'm talking about is the people who send thoughts and prayers. No actual help, mind you, but thoughts and prayers.
Hey, Ted, your neighbor's house is on fire.
Well, I better send thoughts and prayers.
What good does that do? Even if the people are right there, thoughts and prayers. In your face, thoughts and prayers. Begging for a life preserver, thoughts and prayers. I may be a bit idealistic on this one, but you never saw that on Star Trek, did you?
Captain, the outpost on Narandra 3 has been destroyed.
Well, send Federation Standard thoughts and prayers, and change the Enterprise avatar on Facebook to the Narendra 3 flag. I'm sure that will make them feel better.
But, Captain, they have refugees and require medical assistance.
Thoughts and prayers, Mr. Worf. Thoughts and prayers. It's a shame so many Americans these days, especially the right-wing Christian ones, don't understand the concept of refugees. According to Merriam-Webster, the actual dictionary people, a refugee is one that flees, especially a person who flees to a foreign country or power to escape danger or persecution. So where do you want them to go? They can't go back where they came from. Most of the time, where they came from doesn't exist anymore. Why is it so wrong to want to help people? Because they're people. Non-religious people don't have this problem, even though you constantly hear, usually from Christians, that atheists have no morals. Actually, I would argue they have higher morals. We do what we do because it's the right thing to do, not because some imaginary person in a cloud told us we have to. We don't obey the Ten Commandments because God gave them to Moses on a mountain via a flaming bush. We do it because it's the right thing to do. If the Ten Commandments were so important, why did God, him, her, itself, disobey so many of them? Even adultery. Joseph and Mary were either married or on their way to be so, pending the version of the Bible, because, hey, who needs consistency? And God had sex with her anyway to reproduce. The literal interpretation, sex to produce a child. That's what adultery means, to have sex to produce a child. Interestingly, sex for the purpose of recreation is not adultery in the literal sense.
No, honey, I'm not. I'm just saying.
What about murder? God doesn't murder, except when he sends a massive flood to wipe out all of humanity, save, you know, Noah and his family. Incidentally, this means we're all descended from Noah and we're all somehow related, so incest aplenty and all you Kentuckians are spared the humiliation. Back to murder. What were all these sacrifices Abraham did? Murder in the name of God. Which continues today with all these damn wars. My God says we have to kill you because your God is different. The basis of so many wars. Except, a lot of them have to do with Christians attacking Muslims or vice versa. I have some bad news for you on that front. I've read the Quran, or Koran, or however you spell it this week. I swear it changes. And I've read the Christian Bible, and news flash. They're the same God.
But Rob, Allah doesn't sound like God. Even the spelling is different.
This is quite possibly the biggest facepalm moment in history. Let me make an analogy here. In English, we say apple. In French, the same fruit is pomme. In Christian, people say God. In Islam, they say Allah. Exact same concept. And while we're here, not all Muslims are terrorists. I know quite a few Muslims, and there's some really cool and groovy people.
But what about Salman Abedi, the guy from the Manchester Ariana Grande bombing? He was Muslim.
Two things about him. One, he was reported to authorities several times by members of the Muslim community for being a potential threat on four separate occasions, and was banned from his mosque for promoting extremism. And two, Timothy McVeigh, the Oklahoma City bomber, remember him? He was Christian. Extremism comes in all shapes, colors, and religions, including Christianity. So while it may seem like I'm just here to bash Christians, I'm not. It's just the religion I'm most familiar with and the one that seems to need the most help with its members being what they claim to want to be. Not all of them, of course. I know there are some good ones out there. But there are some that need to be watched a bit better. My best example of whether or not your particular branch of religion needs to be watched has to do with collections. I understand that's how churches get their money. I also understand the tax-free aspect of it. The problem comes with churches that are a bit greedy. If you have ever heard your particular pastor, father, reverend, pontiff, vicar, clergy, padre, elder, or rector ever say, Please send us your money. We need it to buy a new swimming pool behind my mansion. I mean a baptismal font. A baptismal font for the chapel.
You might want to pay more attention to your church. Many religions and religious leaders have vows of poverty and chastity. That means no riches or sex. While that may sound horrid to many people, there are still plenty of priests who voluntarily take those vows, and many actually follow through. But if your particular church leader has a mansion and a car that costs more than you'll make in a decade, that sect of religion is not for you. And despite what you may have heard, common people are not demons, so that private jet your priest might need to travel with, well, that need is about as real as, I usually say the imaginary cloud dweller those priests claim to believe in, but I'm not really here to knock any faith. Religion, maybe. Faith? No. Especially the ones where the priest's vow of chastity is thrown out the window in favor of the younger altar boys. But that should be fairly obvious, unless you're religious, apparently. Faith can be a good thing, especially when follows the basic tenet of, if I'm honest, logic. Although most religions do have this tenet. The Christians call it the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have others do unto you. Or love thy neighbor as thyself. Same thing. You've heard that before, regardless of where you grew up or what religion you have, had, never bothered with. It's a great premise, but one millions tend to ignore, as evidenced by this article I found in a newspaper. Yes, newspapers still exist, and I found one. The article was about Kansas City Chiefs linebacker Eric Berry. Some of his fans, who were named in the article but will get no further publicity from me, saw the footballer use his own money to buy food for some homeless people. They were so enamored with him for this, they had to immediately post the story to Facebook and proclaim him a magnificent Christian, since doing something like that would never occur to them. Doing unto others was obviously not part of their Christian mantra. Unfortunately, these days it seems like many of these so-called Christians and alleged Christian leaders want to be segregated, persecuted, and at war. Except the Pope. For the first time in my life, we have a Pope that seems to have read that part of the Bible before. Bravo, sir! Well done! And since you're up on your Bible, perhaps you could help me out with this last niggly bit that I can't fit into this story. I keep seeing that God hates porn. Where is that in the Bible? But really, what I want to finish with is this. There was an article in the New York Times recently, yes, another newspaper, asking if God was dead. Where is the moral leader of the country, asked writer George Yancey, who will lead us spiritually into a new age? He does say that it shouldn't be politicians, and I agree. It shouldn't be movie or TV stars either. The answer is quite easy. The moral compass is built into every human being. It all comes back to doing unto others. If you think you need someone living in a cloud, watching over you constantly,
some would say stalking,
to be a good person, then are you really a good person? Be good to each other, not because God told you to, but because you know it's the right thing to do. You're a human being, and you know better. And yes, I'm braced for this, so if you have any questions or comments about the show, the email box is already waiting for you, rob@thefwatshow.com. You can also go to the website, thefwatshow.com, find the buttons for Facebook and Twitter. And you know what? While you're on the website, click the button that says shop, so you can pick up, you know, the Fwat Show t-shirt or hat or coffee mug. That's right, coffee mug. And don't forget to subscribe to the show on iTunes or through the Google Play Store or Blueberry or wherever you happen to find podcasts. They all have subscription buttons. It's just a matter of finding them. And I would also like to thank Jesus Jones again for doing the theme song that is playing in the background. No, it's not an original song for me, but I think it's a great song anyway. That's why I asked them if I could use it, and they said yes. Take that, YouTube. So until next week, be safe, because it is still extraordinarily weird out there.